Now, scientists have made some intriguing discoveries about plants in recent years.
Trees send signals to each other in forests. They may warn each other of threats.
Some plants show an ability to store data at the molecular level, and they have surprisingly complex systems that allow them to react and adapt to their environments.
Are plants more complicated, maybe smarter than we realize? A new book called The Light Eaters makes that argument. Its author visited the lab of Simon Gilroy, botany professor at UW-Madison, who studies the way plants react to their environment. He shares his research now. Simon, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
No, it's my pleasure. Absolutely.
Big picture, Simon, we may think, or I may think of plants anyway, as being pretty much, you know, inert. But how much more is going on under the surface than I realize?
Yeah, it is. It's true. If you look at plants, for a lot of people, they just don't seem to be doing a lot. I think we've all seen those absolutely amazing time-lapse movies of plants growing. So they're clearly active pieces of biology, but they feel like they're operating at a very different time frame for us. It's been called slow life. But actually, the technology of being able to understand what's going on improves every year. And we're now at the point where we can look at plants and be able to pull out the activities. And we're beginning to realize they are just as active as we are at our time frames, things happening at seconds.
What are some of those things going on in that short time frame that's leading some people to rethink how we think about the time scale of plants?
So one of the classic examples we have now is, imagine that you're a plant and you're being eaten, right? And for, you know, Wisconsin gardeners, we're putting out our tomato plants and getting ready for the summer. But insects are everywhere and plants have to defend themselves against it. And they're really good at doing it. But imagine that you're being eaten by an insect. If your responses take 2 or 3 days, right, you're going to be gone before you've had a chance to defend yourself. So now that we have sort of ways of teasing apart what the plants are doing, we can see that when that insect starts to chomp on a leaf, that leaf generates a bunch of chemical and electrical signals almost instantaneously, you know, the kind of way that you might think that we would if an insect started chewing on us. We go, ow, the plant is generating signals at that time frame, and those signals move throughout the plant. So it's not a nervous system, but you can kind of think of it, it's doing the same thing. One part of the plant is within seconds to minutes telling the rest of the part of the plant that it's being damaged.
I understand this is something you actually work on in your lab, giving a plant, in effect, an owie and seeing what happens next. Can you tell us a little bit about how you do this research and what kind of things you're finding?
Yeah, it's very, very much that the more that we peer into the plant, the more we see the plants are super active. So what we've been able to do is take a genetic tool. It's a modified protein that you can actually visualize. It's fluorescent, so you can just see it. We engineer that into plants, and that protein has been tweaked so that when the plant generates a signal, and the signal that we're really interested in is changes in the level of the calcium ions in the cell, that's a signal that we're using at the moment. That's how mammalian cells, how human cells signal amongst themselves. Plants do a very, very similar thing. So we take this visualization tool, and now in real time, we can do things like cut a leaf and see the signals propagate throughout the plant. And that's opened up this window of seeing, when you wound a plant, or even when you touch a plant, signals are generated almost instantaneously, and those signals propagate throughout the plant. Just like if I were to touch you, you would have a signal which is generated by your touch receptors in your skin, and then that would be passed to your brain, and then you would know you'd been touched. Similar kind of thing, very different mechanism, but a similar kind of thing for plants.
And that's what I wanted to ask about. If I pinch my arm here, I know that it's coming through nerves, right? I have a nervous system that goes to my brain. Well, nerves and brains are things, I think, that plants don't have, right?
Absolutely not. So we know what a brain is. And if you look inside a plant, you can't find the anatomical structure, which is very clearly our brain. and there are no nerves. But biology has to accomplish some common things. Plants have to be able to sense the world around them, just like we have to. And they have to be able to process lots and lots of different kinds of information, just like we have to. And somehow they have to mush all of that together and do the right thing at the end, the appropriate thing. We have the luxury of this absolutely awesome information processing engine sitting on in our heads. So plants don't have a brain, but somewhere inside them, there is information which is being put together and calculations made and working out what the correct output is going to be. You can imagine it's a sunny day and it starts to rain and then an insect starts to eat you. And all of those things have to come together inside the plant somehow for it to kind of know what to do. And it's that knowing bit of it, which is the big black box that we still really don't understand.
All right. Now, what are the reactions before we start to dig into that black box? What kind of things are plants doing? They feel, I'm going to put that in quotes, they sense this insect eating it. The signal goes through the whole of the plant or whatever. What does it do then? Or what kind of strategies do plants do to say, no, I'm not going to get eaten here?
Yeah. So the thing that they don't do, which is the thing that we just is so intuitive to us that it sort of sits in the background of all of our responses, is they just can't get up and leave. So plants are masters of chemistry. So they'll do a lot of making toxins, making themselves unpalatable, and they'll switch on a lot of biochemical pathways to make a lot of biologically active compounds. They will switch on a whole range of their genes to sort of reprogram themselves. And one thing that plants are fantastic at doing is just soaking up what the world has to throw at them and then regenerating and rebuilding parts of the plant. So there's a whole array of things built around the fact that plants, because they're photosynthetic, can just make so much stuff that they can deal with the world by kind of building things in response.
Talking to Simon Gilroy, botany professor at UW-Madison, about the latest research and how plants interact with the outside world, take in information and react to it. Okay, Simon, I've danced around the I word here, intelligence. Some people look at this and say, well, hold on, they're taking input from the outside world, they're comparing it to some kind of reaction system inside, they're a decision comes out, a reaction comes out. Is this a kind of intelligence? I don't know. Maybe this is one more for a philosopher than a botanist. But what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great debate to have. The problem is that we're people. And so our experience of the world is very obviously how we work. And so one of the things that we do as humans, we anthropomorphize all the time. We even inanimate objects, we attribute them like human characteristics. And it's just built into like our DNA of how we interact with the world and think the world operates, because, you know, we know how we operate. And so that must be how everything else operates. And we have a great language to describe how we make decisions and how we think and how we behave. And we use those words when we're describing, let's say, how plants work. So plant behavior, or that plant looks like it's thinking about whether the sun's come out. The words have a lot of meaning to them, which are just intrinsic. Like they're built into the language and they're built into a description of how we work. And so that can sometimes totally get in the way. So when you talk about intelligence, it's just the knee-jerk reaction of thinking about how we think and thinking about how our brain works. But like you did, if you rephrase it and reset the question of, if you consider intelligence to be taking in information, processing it to give an appropriate output, which for biology helps you survive in the world, then you could say, yeah, totally, plants are intelligent. But the intelligence word might be getting in the way there. We like to call it biological intelligence to try and shift the debate away from thinking about brains and nerves and how we work.
Well, let me throw out another bad metaphor here. Plants, it sounds like, have some kind of capacity to store information that then new inputs get run across. Sounds a little like a computer to me. What do we know about how plants store data that they've received or grown up with and then use it?
Plants very, very clearly can store information. Another way to say that is plants can remember what has happened in the past. And again, that comes with the baggage of we know what we think of when we talk about remembering. Mm-hmm. The machinery within the plant that makes that work, that is still a hot topic of debate. It's very clear that plants somehow encode their history in them. So a plant which has been experienced drought will respond a little bit different from a plant that hasn't seen drought in the past. So we know that within the molecular machinery that makes plants work, there must be this sort of memory component to it. And we know that in response to environmental signals, plants change how their proteins work. They change which genes they're switched on. So we have lots and lots of candidates. But again, we've now pushed to the very limits of kind of our understanding of how it works.
Now, we've been focusing mostly on what's happening within one plant here, right? That the plant feels the insect chewing on it and it does stuff. There's some research on communication between plants where, these insects are eating me. I'm putting out some kind of chemical signal so that other plants can be prepared.
They absolutely do. For instance, chemical signals produced by one plant can be sensed by another plant to trigger a response. And the classic example of that would be a thing called green leaf volatiles. Every time that you mow the lawn, that smell, that very characteristic smell of cut grass, that is volatile chemicals coming from the wounded grass. If you take those chemicals and then add them to another plant, waft them over another plant, that other plant will trigger defense responses against physical damage. So that we absolutely know that that goes on. Here is the tricky conundrum. Are those plants which are responding to the volatile chemicals, are they just bystanders? Are they eavesdropping on what's happened so that the chemical that was released by the damaged plant was just the chemistry of being damaged? And as far as the damaged plant's concerned, it's just responding to being damaged. And the plants which are able to eavesdrop on the signal are using it, but difficult to come up with words which don't just give it a human flavor, but there's no intention, right? There's no directional communication.
As we wrap up, Simon, what is the biggest mystery for you as you're researching that you're hoping to figure out when it comes to plants?
The field of plant biology has made absolutely enormous progress in understanding the senses. So we know how plants know whether it's day or night. We know they even know what time of day it is. We know the molecular clock that they have. We know how they can sense the levels of nitrogen in the soil. We know a tremendous amount about the sort of the machinery of how the sensing works. And research has made a lot of progress about the molecular changes which that then triggers. The black box is still, how do you put it all together? How do you take all of this information and turn it into, like, and again, we're just going to talk about it as if it was a human. How you can make a plant think, right, without a brain? That is a huge question. And people are making steady progress towards at least thinking about it. We totally don't have an answer.
Super interesting. Simon, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Absolutely.
That's Simon Gilroy, professor of botany at UW-Madison.